What you can do, or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. These immortal words, written by the great German philosopher and dramatist Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, perfectly set the stage for what you're going to learn in this session. Here, we're going to help you turn the vision of what you want to achieve into an action plan. In Goethe's words, to boldly begin your dream. You already have the vision. You believe in it and in your potential to achieve it. Now we're going to work on a practical, step-by-step process through which your vision can be brought to life. For, as former United States President Theodore Roosevelt said, dreams are a dime a dozen. Everybody's got dreams. It's their execution that counts. Planning is the logical mapping out of where you want to go and how you want to get there. Seneca, the Roman philosopher, captured the importance of planning when he said, "When a man does not know what harbor he is heading for, no wind is the right one." Planning helps you focus your direction and organize both your time and resources. Every moment spent in planning saves 3 or 4 in execution. In this session, you're going to learn a simple yet powerfully effective system of planning, of organizing any goal you want to achieve into logical, easy-to-visualize steps. This system is applicable to any type of task or project, from building a deck to getting a medical degree. It will help you to make short or long-range plans, organize your resources, create schedules to meet necessary deadlines, and improve your decision-making skills. It will also improve the quality of your work. While following this plan, you'll experience an increase in self-confidence and pride as you realize that you are on your way to becoming a self-disciplined achiever. Every small task in your plan that you accomplish will be living proof that you are one step closer to your goal. And as you take each step, your faith in your ability to accomplish your goal will be reinforced and expanded. In approaching the creation of a plan, it is important to keep the following basic facts in mind. First, planning is a way to look at both the whole picture and parts that make up the whole. It is a way to organize those parts in a logical and sequential way. One step should lead to another. More than that, each step you take should make the next step possible, like adding links to a chain to make a fence. We've introduced you to the concept of macro and micro achievements. The whole picture is your macro achievement. The steps you must take to achieve your macro achievement are micro achievements. If you want to build a house, a macro achievement, you must start by leveling the site and digging a foundation. Only after those steps have been accomplished can you go on to pouring the foundation, putting up the framing, putting in electricity and plumbing, finishing the walls, installing the roof, and so on. The second fact to keep in mind is that ideas take time to implement. I won't dwell at length on the subject of time now, since we're going to devote all of Session 8 to time. But I'd like to tell you a short story about a Micronesian island leader named Pialug that illustrates the kind of time and patience it takes to achieve excellence. 50-year-old Pialug is the most respected and powerful man in his community because he's a navigator. His grandfather had told him, "If you learn navigation, you will have a name. You will eat the navigator's food. At sea, you will have more power than a chief." Pialug began learning navigation at the age of 5. Using shells and pieces of coral on sand, his grandfather created models of the constellations to teach him how to chart distance and direction. Pialug learned that at the right time of year, he could simply point the bow of his canoe at the rising star to steer his course. But since the stars rise 4 minutes earlier each evening, the rising star changes position every day. So Pialug also had to learn the positions of the multitude of lesser stars. It took him 45 years to learn every movement of every major and minor star and constellation in the nighttime sky. But having taken the time to learn, Pialug now enjoys the respect, admiration, and status in his community that comes with being a navigator. Like Pialug, you must recognize that it will take time to achieve your goal, weeks, months, or years. Like Pialug, you must develop patience in learning the steps that lead to your goal. With time and patience on your side, you'll be assured of realizing your ambition. And like Pialug, you'll achieve the respect that comes with final accomplishment. A third fact to remember in creating a plan of action is that ideas take concentrated work to come to fruition. Too many people like to think that managing a project means that others do the detail work. They can simply spin out ideas like sparks from a child's pinwheel toy, leaving others to tend the fire. If you leave others to tend the fire, don't blame them if the house burns down. Admiral Hyman Rickover spent over 40 years building America's nuclear submarine fleet. Rickover himself supervised the research, design, construction, and operation of the mighty underwater craft. His reputation as an excellent manager who always got results was only equaled by his talent for engineering. Upon Rickover's retirement, he explained his philosophy of management to an interviewer. The man in charge, Rickover said, must concern himself with details. If he does not consider them important, neither will his subordinates. Yet the devil is in the details. It is hard and monotonous to pay attention to seemingly minor matters. In my work, I probably spend 99% of my time on what others may call petty details. Most managers would rather focus on lofty policy matters. But when details are ignored, the project fails. No infusion of policy or lofty ideals can correct the situation. Three basic elements to keep in mind, then, when creating an action plan. They include looking at the whole picture, taking time to complete each step before you go on to the next, and paying attention to details. A fourth point to remember is planning and the implementation of a plan is a trial and error process. You will make mistakes. Most of them will be unavoidable and will serve as springboards of learning and refinement. When you make a mistake, learn from it. Take corrective action to avoid making it again and get right back on course. Remember, supposed experts have made greater mistakes than you're going to make and have managed to turn them into creative successes. Take the Coca-Cola Company's introduction of the new Coke, for example. After spending millions of dollars on market research and more millions of dollars marketing their reformulated soft drink, they were forced by public pressure to bring back the old formula. They made a mistake in trying to change the taste of Coke, and their marketing executives admitted it. But because of that mistake, Coke is now in a stronger marketing position than ever. The Coca-Cola Company has brought back their old formula, now sold under the name Classic Coke, and they still have their new formula on the market, which was formulated to appeal to Pepsi drinkers. Was Coke's surprise move really a mistake? Nobody thinks so now. By correcting its mistake, Coke has the potential to win over an even larger share of the market than it had before. This process of self-correcting behavior is what scientists call cybernetics. The term may sound very space age, but there is a reason for that. The organizational method you're about to learn is the same one NASA engineers used to put men on the moon. In the early 1960s, when former President John F. Kennedy ordered NASA to put a man on the moon within a decade, NASA's engineers and systems designers rose to the challenge, accomplishing the task by July of 1969. How did they do it? They took their macro objective, putting a man on the moon, and broke it down into a series of micro-objectives that would lead to the final great accomplishment. When the project started, NASA scientists and organizers immediately began preparing flowcharts, identifying each step they would have to take in order to put a man on the moon. First, they had to build a new type of rocket. Then, that rocket had to successfully orbit the Earth for longer and longer periods of time. They had to design spacesuits that would be able to protect the astronauts from the moon's atmosphere. Each step got them closer and closer to achieving their objective, until that historic day when they got the job done. You can duplicate this same process of planning simply and easily. You can apply it to any job you might be called upon to handle. We call the system of planning you're going to learn in this session visual network planning. Visual because it helps you to look at, identify, and visualize each of the steps necessary to complete an objective. Network, because each of the steps are connected together to show how they lead to your goal. The instructions and examples that follow will show you how you can quickly and easily put the visual network planning system into immediate operation. There will be seven steps involved. First, you'll write your objective. Second, you'll break it down into major steps we call activities. Third, you'll organize the activities in logical order. Fourth, you'll design a visual network. Fifth, you'll estimate how long each activity will take to complete. Sixth, you'll determine what we call critical path and float. And seventh and last, you'll assign actual calendar dates to each activity. Don't worry about remembering all of these steps now. We'll go over them one by one with examples to help you understand them. For now, as we begin our discussion of this powerful planning system, you'll need to refer to your study guide and follow along as I explain each concept. I'll pause here for a few moments while you locate the page. First, let's discuss the four basic elements of visual network planning. Look at diagram 7.1 on page 36. The first element is what we call an activity box. An activity is a step or task that must be completed in order to achieve a goal. The name of the activity is listed in a box. One activity is linked to another activity by a line with an arrow. This linking of activities is the second element of a visual network plan. The third element is the activity's reference number. Each activity is assigned a number for the purpose of identification. The number is circled and located in the upper left-hand corner of the activity box. Any number can be assigned to an activity box, and the numbers you do assign don't necessarily have to follow in numerical order. Activity number 23 can follow activity number 15. The fourth basic element of a visual network plan is what we call duration. Each activity takes a certain amount of time to complete. That amount of time is called its duration. Duration is listed at the bottom right-hand corner of the activity box. It can be represented in minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, or years. Now let's use these elements to build a simple network, a group of linked activities that lead to a goal. Refer to diagram 7.2 on page 36. This diagram assumes that you have some hard winter wheat and a wheat grinder, and you want to make some fresh, hot, whole wheat cereal. How would you develop a simple visual network plan to illustrate all of the steps you must take to end up with a bowl of piping hot cereal? Your first step would be to get a piece of paper and pencil and list your objective on the top. In this case, it would read something like, "Cook whole wheat cereal from scratch." Your second step would then be to break your objective down into its major steps or activities. In this case, there are two major activities involved. The first is grinding the wheat. The second is cooking the wheat. Third, you would then put the activities into their logical order. In our example, the wheat must be ground before it can be cooked. And fourth, you would construct a visual network plan in which the two steps are placed in activity boxes with reference numbers, durations, and linked arrows. We have already developed the visual network plan for this objective in diagram 7.2. As you can see, activity number 2 is grinding the wheat. Activity number 4 is cooking the wheat. When activity number 2 has been completed, having taken 2 minutes, activity number 4 is ready to begin. Activity number 4 takes 7 minutes. Reaching your goal of making a bowl of fresh, hot, whole wheat cereal takes a total of 9 minutes. This simple visual network plan shows you how many activities you need to complete before your goal can be accomplished. In this case, 2. And how long each activity will take. In this case, 2 minutes and 7 minutes. The example is very elementary. If you look at diagram 7.3 on page 37, you'll see a slightly more complex visual network plan. In this case, our goal has 2 activities that are dependent upon the completion of 1 activity. Here our goal is to get both a car and a motorcycle out of a garage. Neither can be accomplished without opening up the garage door. Notice also that activity 5, labeled getting the car out of the garage, is independent of activity 7, labeled getting the motorcycle out of the garage. Both activities 5 and 7 can be accomplished at the same time, providing you have someone to drive each vehicle and providing the door is opened first. In this example, note that 5 of the 7 steps of visual network planning have been completed. 1. The objective has been written. 2. The major steps of the project have been identified. 3. The steps have been put into a logical order. 4. They have been organized into a visual network. 5. Each activity has been assigned a time estimate for completion. Now let's examine step 6, the concepts of critical path and float. To help you follow along in our explanation, turn to page 38 of your study guide and look at diagram 7.4, titled Critical Path and Float. As you can see, we have expanded our visual network plan for cooking cereal to one for cooking and eating cereal. The new objective is to prepare and eat freshly ground whole wheat cereal in 15 minutes. Look at the visual network plan. You now have three separate paths that come out of activity 3, grinding wheat. Going from the top down, the first path is made up of activities 3, 5, and 11. The middle path is composed of activities 3, 9, and 11. The bottom path includes activities 3, 7, and 11. Look at the three paths individually and total up the amount of time each will take. The middle path will take a total of 14 minutes to complete. The top path takes only 8 minutes. The bottom path takes 9 minutes. Look at your objective again. Your goal is to cook and eat the cereal within 15 minutes. If you are to complete your objective on time, the activities on the longest path must all be completed on schedule. The longest path on a visual network plan is known as the critical path. The activities on the critical path are called critical activities and are vital to the success of the project. The non-critical activities, those not on the critical path, can be delayed without affecting the result. These activities have what is called float. Float is the amount of time an activity can be delayed without affecting the completion of the project. In diagram 7.1, grinding the wheat, cooking the wheat, and eating the cereal take the longest amount of time and are thus on the critical path. Getting the bulls and milk can be delayed without affecting the schedule. Therefore, they both have float. Diagram 7.5 on page 39 is the visual network plan we use here at CyberVision Systems to develop our programs. Study the plan and try to determine the critical path. Which activities take the longest amount of time to complete? As you can see, activities 11, 13, and 15 are on the critical path. Activities 17 and 19, and 21 and 23, which take a total of 10 weeks to complete, have 6 weeks of float. Because of the amount of time it takes to complete the critical path, these activities can be delayed for 6 weeks without affecting the schedule. On the other hand, if any of the activities on the critical path are delayed, the whole project will be late. Identifying the critical path of your project enables you to gain control by knowing what your priorities are. You can then concentrate your efforts on getting those priority items done, letting the others float until you have time to take care of them too. The seventh step in developing a visual network plan is to assign calendar dates to each of the activity boxes. Once you're ready to commit your project to firm starting times, you must insert completion dates for all activities along the critical path. For example, if we were to begin our audio program development on January 5th, and the first activity on the critical path, developing a program idea, has a duration of 1 week, then the activity box showing the completion of this task would have a target date of January 12th. That date, and all others on the critical path, must be met in order for the project to be completed on time. A delay in finishing a critical path activity will result in the delay of the project. But critical path dates have another function besides keeping your project moving on time. These target dates also serve as guides for the float events that lead to your goal. You can position your float activities to coincide with your critical target dates in such a way as to complete them when it's best or easiest for you to work on them. These activities can be worked into your schedule because they can be delayed until it's most convenient for you to do them. Visual network planning works for macro goals and for micro goals. You can create one visual network plan for a macro goal, such as becoming a doctor, and create another visual network plan for getting through medical school. In diagram 7.6 on page 40 of your study guide, we've outlined a simple visual network plan for someone with a macro goal, becoming a neurologist. Each of the activities listed on this plan, which takes a total of 15 years of post-high school study, can be turned into a micro network plan of its own. Any project that has a beginning and an end will benefit from visual network planning. Before embarking on your plan for accomplishing your macro goal, we suggest you try this organizational method out on something smaller, so you can see the results in a matter of a few hours or a few days. Apply it to a project around the house that you've been putting off for weeks, pruning your trees or repainting several rooms. This will give you a chance to get used to organizing your activities in a logical and systematic way. In using this plan, you'll learn the meaning of hard work and patience. You'll find yourself tempted to skip certain steps and leap ahead to something you feel like doing right away. But when you do go off your schedule, your project won't be completed in time, and you'll begin to see how important it is to stick to dates and schedules if you want to realize any goal. Using this plan will also reward you with a sense of self-disciplined accomplishment. As you complete each task on your path to success, you can mark it off on your chart and be proud that you've done it. You'll also be able to look at your chart at various times during your project and see how far you've come. Before we go on to complete this planning session on cassette side 10, I'd like to say a final word about the planning system you've just learned. No one can be totally certain about the outcome of a string of planned events. Mistakes, unforeseen problems, and outside events over which you have no control can and will contribute to the changing of your plans. Your visual network plan is not carved in granite. It's a living, working system that must change to accommodate the changes in your life. You may underestimate the amount of time it will take you to complete an activity. You'll know better the next time. You may find that you don't need to perform a certain activity at all, giving you some breathing room in your schedule. The objective of this plan is not to give you a rigid yardstick against which to measure your success or failure. Rather, it is to give you a logical, working system for achieving your goal. In creating your visual network plan, do your best to be as accurate as possible about dates and durations of activities. But remember that things may go wrong, and you may have to change those dates. This is not an excuse to quit. It is a good reason to keep sticking to your plan, for without it, you have little chance of achieving your goal at all. Remember, to successfully realize your purpose, you must have the courage to take risks, the courage to fail, and the courage to learn from your failures. Visual network planning is a roadmap that points out your destination and suggests a way to get there, but it doesn't tell you how to take the trip. It's up to you. On the next side of this tape, you'll take the exciting step of developing your own visual network plan, and you'll write your own story of achievement in a way that brings home the power and reward of final success. Now that you've been introduced to the guidelines of effective planning, you're ready to turn your own purpose and vision into macro and micro plans. As you do, keep in mind the following suggestions. First, the instructions on how to develop a visual network plan are guidelines only, and not a rigid set of rules. Use the principles we've discussed as a guide to meet your own specific needs. Second, take the time to work at converting your goal into a visual network plan. You'll probably need to come up with a number of rough versions before you arrive at your finalized plan. Don't get frustrated. The very act of planning will force you to think logically and use your creativity. More importantly, your vision will go from the abstract to the concrete, a step most people aren't able to take or don't know how to take. In developing your personalized visual network plan, you'll find that this system will become one of the most valuable tools you'll ever use. So study it thoroughly, familiarize yourself with the steps, get to work, and be patient. After you have developed your first visual network plan, there's an exercise I want you to complete. Take your plan and put it in front of you. Study what you've written for a few minutes. You have a stated objective, a list of activities, and a time frame. That's all it takes to tell a story. So I'm going to ask you to tell the story of the achievement of your own goal. Only you're going to tell the story in the past tense, as if your goal has already been achieved. In your story, pay attention to details. How long did it take to reach your goal? What did each step along the way feel like? Did you have to reevaluate your goal in the process of achieving it? What did you discover about yourself along the way that led to the successful achievement of your ambition? Keep your story simple. Pretend you're talking to a friend. Be enthusiastic. Be proud. Give your friend a step-by-step description of just how you did it. First I did this, then I did that. And this happened along the way, so here's how I took care of it, and so on. Now you're going to tell your story on tape to describe your success in sensory-rich detail with all the enthusiasm you can muster, as if it finally really happened. When you're done, you'll have a record of your success that you can refer to again and again for inspiration. When you play your story back for the first time, listen very carefully to your descriptions. Did you falter in places? Was there a lack of conviction in your voice in certain areas? Did you hesitate, as though to tell yourself you really didn't believe that success was yours? Or were you self-assured and utterly convincing? If the first version of your story doesn't satisfy you, erase it and create another one. Do this over and over until you have a version that completely satisfies you with its richness of vision and inner strength. When you achieve your goal, you can use this same method of storytelling in pursuing another one. Always make sure that your story rings true and offers real inspiration to you when you hear it. Remember, don't be afraid to brag and relive the success you've already accomplished in your imagination.